This reminds us that God gave us the victory and we could enter the land that He has given us. And so we are remembering something important here today because it is significant that we do focus on this. I want to focus on a prophecy which Tony Silverwood Brown brought us in November a year ago, roughly. And sometimes a word is given by the Lord and it doesn't have the impact right away because there's a season that words have. And there was a season that had to come when this word would suddenly achieve what God had sent it to achieve and hit me between the eyes. And I thought, oh my word, this is absolutely amazing. I need to lay hold of this because this truly is God speaking and we need to hear what He's saying. But God said, the only way is up, my children. The only way is up, says the Lord. For there are things I have for you now that others cannot help you with. But you can only receive them in my presence and from my heart. For it has pleased me to show you what others have been doing, and many role models have been presented to you. I have made you aware both of people in your time and those in previous generations who have served me. This has been an inspiration, and the purpose of this is to inspire you to see that there is a high place you can walk upon, where you can walk with me and serve me. My servants have shown you that there is such a place to be found, but they cannot take you there. They can only point the way and inspire you to reach higher. A year before this, the Lord spoke to me, and I wrote this out, and it was simply titled Vision Gone Wrong. And the Lord said, when you walk in the vision I give you as a church, you will fulfill my plan for your life. But if you adopt somebody else's vision because it seems more successful than your own, you will not be anointed to that vision. And so when you try to copy it, you will begin to fail, and you'll compare yourself with what apparently appears very successful elsewhere, and you will begin to say, we are not as good as they are, and you'll become discouraged. So the same thing the Lord echoes here. Yet now the time has come when they cannot take you any further, i.e. the visions of other people. Others cannot take you to the place I am now leading you, but you have to get it from me. Like Moses, you must now go to the mountain to be with me, that like him, I may show you the pattern of the heavenly things, that you may bring those things to the earth and make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. And that was the time that Moses got the design and the pattern for the tabernacle that he was to build, which would be where the people would worship. At this time, I will release a heavenly blueprint to you, for I have a blueprint of what to do, which is only for your situation. It will not come from another situation, and if others try to use it, it will not work for them. It is specifically the blueprint for your place and time and can only be obtained from me. It will be released as you look up only to me and enter into my presence. My children, it is this blueprint that will bring change. For you live in a city that has many diverse people and lifestyles, but they all have this in common, that there is a great apathy towards me. This apathy will not be shaken by strategies, by argument, or even by good spiritual experiences. Yet, as you look up to my presence and begin to rise towards me, then my blueprint will be released as my plan, which will sweep down and take your lives up, then sweep out into the city, and nothing will be able to stand before it. Rather, it will shake people out of their apathy and into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I say that as I walked a certain path for some years, but the time came when I set my face to Jerusalem, determined to accomplish my Father's highest purpose there, which was the cross. So you have gone certain ways until now, but the time has come to set your face fully to enter my presence to the exclusion of all else. I call you to be a holy determination. I call you to a holy determination to go into my presence and to know my heart. What God has is an incredible plan that he has given us. It is ours. It's designated for us. It's not for anybody else. It's ours. But God says you can't get this from anybody else. You can only get this from me. You can only get it by coming to me, that I can give you what it is that I have for you. And I say to you, the things good or bad that have happened here to date are now things behind, and it is a new start. When I'm calling you to forget those things that are behind and to reach forward to the things which are ahead, pressing towards the mark to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can give anybody a copy of this if they'd like to have it. But this word is not only specifically to me, it is obviously to me, but it is also to us as a church. And God is saying to us as a church, there are things that I've called you to, there are places that I need you to go, there are situations in this land that you need to begin to impact and change, but you have to come and get the blueprint on how that should look to accomplish that in this land at this time. You can't go there on your own. Now, what we're doing at the moment and what we have been doing is coming in and pressing into God with all we have. We're fasting on Tuesdays every week, crying out to God. We're meeting to pray on Tuesday nights at the upper room. And the whole purpose of this is to say, God, we are empty of everything that we can do. We've come for your plan. And that is what God is calling us to as a church, to come to the point where we say, God, we want your blueprint. We don't want the blueprints which seem good for Hillsong or HDB or Bethel or IHOP or anybody else. We have to only work with a blueprint you gave me. You may recall a few weeks I told you how the Lord had taken me through to Revelation chapter 2 verse 5 when Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus. And he says, remember the heights from which you have fallen. Return to your first love. Love me as you loved me in the beginning. And then he says, do the things you did at first, or I will come and remove your lampstand, which is the sense of God's presence from amongst you. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the first temple that was built in Jerusalem after David, he prayed a significant prayer. You read in Chronicles, and he said, when we see drought, when we see desolation, when we are being defeated by our enemies, then when we come and we turn our face towards this place and we pray and we cry out to you, then will you hear our cry and will you answer us? And God answers back and he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their sin, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. You know, there's nothing that gets our attention quicker than when the money runs out or drought comes. And we stop and we think, what happened? Where's God? Why are the blessings not flowing? And that's exactly what God was saying to them. When you turn back to me, I will heal your land. What is God saying through this? God is saying, I'm looking for people who are set apart for me. People who live for me and not a mixture. You know, sometimes we kind of wanting to follow God, but we've got our feet in several camps. We kind of tolerate some kind of sinful stuff in our lives and we think, well, I've always done this and it seems to be all right. God didn't send a bolt of lightning to incinerate me, so it must be okay. And then we stand in that place and we say, but why is there no victory in my life? Why don't I see the victory? And the God simply says, if you will humble yourself and turn from your sin and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land, I'll heal your life. God's looking for a holy people. And I don't mean people who look like they suck on lemons all day long. I mean people who are set apart for God for the sheer joy of being set apart for God, for the sheer desire and delight in their heart that they belong to Him and nobody else. There's no mixture in their life. And God is looking for those people. But God is not looking for people who legalistically, by some set of rules, try to live some sort of holy life. Because holiness is only possible because of the blood of Jesus. We can never make ourselves holy outside of the cross of Jesus Christ. So God's looking for people. This new time that the earth is moving to, and this much I can tell you that God has told me, that right now God is looking for people who will delight themselves in Him and Him only. That our holiness will not be born of a slavish legalistic obligation to steel ourselves against sin, but that out of a depth of love and relationship, we will live for Him. And so as we go forward, this is the plan that God has. I believe that, you know, the great moves of God, and we can think of the ones that we know in this nation, the one in Wales at the beginning of last century, when Evan Roberts was alive in Wales, and there was the sweeping move of God across the nation where the football fields, sorry guys, will be shut eventually because people turn the football fields into places of worship. The football players wanted to go and worship rather than go play football. When the pubs closed on many places, when people spent until 4 in the morning in meetings and they went to work the next day and came back to the next meeting the next night because there was this hunger for God which sustained them and gave them energy to keep going, and the nation was transformed. It was remarkable. The same thing that happened up in the Hebrides in 1947 on the island of Lewis. Two sisters who set their lives apart for God and set their faces like flint to God. And as they cried out to God, God brought a revival on that land, and there was a sweeping move which changed that land dramatically through two old ladies, 184, 186, one crippled with arthritis, one blind. God's not bothered by the externals or the age. God is concerned with the heart. And the hearts of these two women was to cry out to God until 4 o'clock in the morning, and God swept through the island of Lewis, and many, many people came to a relationship with Jesus Christ and were totally transformed in their lives. I believe that those moves of God were destined to go much further and go much higher. I believe that what happened in Wales should never have ended. I believe it should have impacted the rest of this nation and the rest of the world. I believe that there was something coming that God was looking for. But in every one of these instances, what you saw was the mixture in the heart of men which got in the way, which ended them prematurely. And I believe that the problem was that the mixture was born of a desire to be holy and a desperate attempt by following a set of rules. I believe it was impossible for us to do that. You see, folk, holiness is only possible through God. We declare our willingness to be set apart, but only God can make us holy. He's the only one who can set us free from our desire to sin, from our desire to live in a double standard. And so what God is looking for now are people who will come into His presence as the most significant thing they could do with their life and live and abide and dwell in that place from where life will flow, from where holiness will become possible. Not out of a sense of following a pack of rules, but out of a depth of love and relationship. People will want to be holy, and people will want to live differently. I had the most hideous night last night. It was just ridiculous, and often is on a Saturday night. It's just warfare right through the night, and eventually got up at 5 and said, this is crazy, and I went and sat, and I just sat there. I thought, oh boy, I'm really beaten up this morning. I'm not going to be able to do anything. How am I going to do this, Lord? This is so hard. And I just sat in this chair, and just suddenly His presence just came like waves of waves. And I was sitting there, and I was like a man drunk, just in the presence of God. The Spirit of God was so powerful. And He just soothed my body and soothed my mind and began to say, He took me to that Psalm 46. I started the meeting reading, not by might nor by power. No, well, that was, but He said, be still. And know that I'm God. Be still. You don't have to change these people's hearts. I will change their hearts. You don't have to impress them with your performance. I will do it. I want you to be impressed with Jesus, not me. Because that's the only way you and I are going to change forever. I want to take you on with this word because it's really exciting what God says. My children, I ask you to focus above at this time. The intimacy. Your eyes need to be looking straight up to the heavenly places. You may still hear and be inspired with your ears at what others are doing, but your gaze must be directly upon me and upon the high places that I desire to take you. For I am calling you to run with me and to stand with me upon the high places. God has put a call to us as a church. I'm calling you to run with me and to stand with me upon the high places, upon the places which are not for ordinary people. God singles you out and says, I have a high place for you to stand. I have a place for you to stand where you will have a different spiritual influence than you currently have at this time. I call you to those places with me, and here it comes, to walk through the fire with me. For many will say, Lord, give me your fire, but will not go through the fire. For this reason, they cannot be conduits, a carrier of fire to a needy world. I seek those who call for my fire, who will walk with me through it. Then my fire can break out wherever they go. You want to see power in your life? You want to see power in your ministry? God says there's only one way. Come through the fire with me. I was reminded of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the Babylonian, when they were in captivity in Babylon. And God called them to be set apart for him and not to compromise. And the king at that time made a golden statue of himself. And the law went out in the land that everybody at a certain time, I think it was when a certain sound was played on a musical instrument, had to bow and worship this golden effigy. And they said, we can't do that. And it got reported to the king. And the king had given a decree that whoever did not bow to this had to be thrown into the furnace and burnt alive. And so they were brought before the king as being rebels. And the king said, why did you not do that? He said, because we can only bow to God. We can't bow to your God. And he said to them, you know the penalty. I have to throw you in the furnace. They said, you can do that. Our God will save us. And he said, the king said to him, but what if your God doesn't save you? And they said, oh, king, even if our God doesn't save us, we still won't bow to your idol. God is looking for that. That. And the story goes on to tell us that they were thrown in the fire, three of them. And when they were in the fire, they were seen walking. Even the soldiers who threw them in were burnt by the sheer heat of the fire as they got close to it. And as they were in the fire, in this super hot furnace, they were seen walking around with one other person, sent from heaven to protect them in the fire. And they came out of the fire absolutely unscathed. Not even, it says, with not even the smell of smoke on them. I want you to know something, folk. That didn't just happen thousands of years ago. The fire that God wants you and I to go through is simply the fire of His presence. God wants to refine our lives. But it's not a beating up with a large stick by an angry father who wants to destroy you to see you squirm. It's saying to the Father, I come into your presence willingly and I allow you to change my life. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, you know, because then it starts to happen. And when it starts to happen, you become convinced, but this isn't the fire. And God says, this is the fire. Trust me. It really is a point of saying it doesn't matter what it is. Like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, it doesn't matter. Just trust me, says the Lord. Go through the fire and allow yourself to be changed by the fire, that you will come forth, as the Bible says, like pure gold, and you will reveal the glory of heaven on this earth. You will become a carrier of the fire. Folk, you want to see fire? There is only one way. Every person who ever lived that we know of through history, who has ever seen a dramatic move of God take place in and through their life, had one thing and one thing in common. They were set apart for God. There was no mixture. They belonged to Him. They didn't live a little bit of each. They didn't live a little bit out. They went in the fire and they lived in the fire. The furnace raged around them all the time. Day and night, they lived in that place. And they were the ones that would bring change on the earth. And God says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm looking for men and women right now who will bring change on the earth, because their lives will be set apart for me and me only. And everything else is secondary after that. You know, I was just saying to Dot yesterday, look at what happened in Tunisia. where the government got unseated and displaced just by the people, decided they didn't want their government anymore. Spirit of anarchy came in the country. Go into Egypt. What's happening right now? The same thing's happening. What's going to happen to the world? What if in this country somebody decided, we don't like the government and what they're doing, we're going to do the same thing here? What's going to stop it in the end when the masses, when 58 million people decide they're not going to put up with it, what's going to happen? It can happen anywhere in a moment. We live in a world which is so volatile, where things could shift and change in a moment. This is the season where there has to be on this earth men and women who are carriers of fire, who are not affected by the fire of what happens in the nations, but are affected only by what God says and what God says you are. They will bring about change on the earth that people will not believe was possible. God looks for it. God's calling us. God says, Will you go in the fire with me? These things may seem difficult and indeed are part of a very high calling. Yet there is a simplicity in how you are to enter this. Simply one entrance point. I'm called for you. Nobody else. I'm called for you. I belong to you now. My life is completely set apart. My heart is given over to you only. I want you to live in all the victory, all the power. I want to see your life so transformed that you transform other people's lives because you're carriers of the fire of God. But that's only going to be possible when we are prepared to go in the fire, when we're prepared to be transformed, when we're prepared to not follow any man, no matter how successful they may seem to be, but when we say, God, I'm only here for you. I don't care who else is doing what. I only want your blueprint. I only want your plan. This church can only operate according to your plan. Nothing else is going to matter here. God called us in 2005. He confirmed it, but we knew this way back when we started in Soho praying. And God said to us at that time, He said, you are a people who are to create a wedge of my presence into this city so that others can come in. You are the people who through prayer and supplication lay your lives down so that others can come in over your lives and be released into the kingdom. James Maloney came in 2005 and confirmed these words. And confirmed, in fact, used the same thing, create a wedge into the city was one of the words he spoke. But he called us to do things. He said, the Lord wants to make this place a habitation of his presence. A habitation, a place where God lives, dwells. But God doesn't live in a mixture. God wants to come and live in greater things. I was telling you about these amazing revivals in Wales and Hebrides that we know of. There are many others in the world. I believe that the one thing that just cut them short, as I said, was the mixture that began to come in the hearts through the hearts of men. I believe that when God sees a group of men and women who are truly set apart for Him, raised up, made holy, people who live in the fire of God and carries the fire, we will see a revival come on this earth, which will go on and on and on, changing lives, sweeping thousands into this kingdom. And God asks us to do this. God asks us to do one, two things. He says, come to my presence, that my presence can change you. The second thing he says, pray, because there is great power in what you do. Now, I've asked Anne to come and just, Anne sent us a text last week about the call of prayer. And I've asked her just to come and tell you again what she said to us. You've got 5 minutes, not 5 African minutes, 5 British minutes. Welcome, man. Make her feel relaxed.
5 minutes.
Okay. 5 minutes. You got it. Yeah. You got it. I'll give you a signal 4.5.
Okay, time marked. Good morning. This morning, yeah. The message that I got came from the book of Isaiah 62. And God was talking about prayer. And I'm just going to read it as I wrote it down. We've been called as watchmen, and he's raising in us intercessors that will be so much in love with him that crying out day and night will be their joy to do it. And they will long for him and long to be in his glory because nothing else would matter to them. And they will give him no rest. And he says, you know, give him no rest until he establishes a city, which to us is London. And it's through deeper praises that they will pull down righteousness and justice. And with their mouth, they will establish holiness in the land because they will be so full of the Spirit of God and the love of the Father. Amen. Yeah. Okay. That was the message that I got, and you know, it all comes to because a few months ago we were praying and God in this church, God gave us a word. We were singing a single barren woman. That was a message a few months ago that we were praying, and you know, and God kind of connected that with this, you know, and he was because after that is found in Isaiah 54. You know, when God says, you know, from the singing, you know, establish or enlarge your tent. Because in the enlarging of tent, like Pastor Les was saying, it's not comfortable. But it's where he's calling us, is the stretching part. But the good thing is he's calling us. Our stretching is intimacy with him. He's calling us to that place of prayer where, you know, it's just us and God and, you know, nothing else matters. And, you know, that's if that's our call, and, you know, if it takes everything. Like, you know, the stretching, you're like, okay, God, do I have to do that? Do I have to pray, you know, for these hours and all? And it'll come a point where it has nothing to do with how many hours you pray, but it's just that presence of God that, you know, will just overshadow you everywhere that you are. And, you know, that's what he's calling us into. That's what he's leading us to be. Because, you know, if he's calling us into, if he has called us to stand in the gap, because he talks about, I think it's in the book of Isaiah as well, that he was, you know, he was looking for someone to stand in the gap, and he found none. And we know he has called us to stand in the gap in London and to establish righteousness, because he talks about, you know, it's righteousness that exalts a nation, and that's what he's called us into, and that's what he wants us to do. And, you know, it's just knowing that we've been called to stand in the gap as brides, not just because, you know, because the Bible says so. Because if we do it that way, then it will be out of, okay, then I have to do it. Then, you know, there's no other choice, and there's not going to be love that flows from that. And it's only, you know, people are looking for love. Everybody's looking for love out there. And, you know, it's that pure love that, you know, he's calling us into, and he's teaching us to walk into. And, you know, when he's calling us to stand in the gap, it has to do with the love that he's calling us into and the love that he's been teaching us. When Pastor Les has been preaching about, you know, the heart of the Father and us, you know, having the spirit of, you know, the spirit of sonship, so that we can take that to the orphans out there. And, you know, it all connects to, we can only know these through the place of prayer. We can only through the know this, because, you know, he says, you know, it's only those that knows God they will do exploits. And, you know, it's that place that he's calling us of knowing him, not just knowing about God because of what we read in the books, or maybe what we preach to. You know, it's that place where, you know, he's like, he's calling us to introduce himself to us. Where he's like, yeah, I'm God, I'm your lover, I'm calling you, I'm awakening you as my bride to walk with me. I will equip you, and I'm going to give you everything that you need that pertains life and godliness, and I'm going to give you that word to speak to the nation. And, you know, it cannot happen otherwise apart from us being stretched to be in his presence, as longing, you know, to be with him and knowing him more every day, and, you know, just longing to go deeper in his presence. And I believe that's our call, and he wants us to long to be with him, just to long for that. Because it's out of intimacy that everything else will flow. It's out of just knowing him that, you know, even the healing, because it's just touching that virtue, like the woman in the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, just forsaking all and just stretching to the crowd, and, you know, knowing that, you know, the crowd is not going to, you know, whatever you want from Jesus, it does not matter what you're going through or, you know, the crowd, it's you, and just knowing that it does not matter what it takes, but I'm just going to touch the hem of his garment. It does not matter what I'm going through. It's just, you know, just being in his presence and drawing that virtue out of him. And, you know, he's longing that more than we are. He's longing for us to be in his presence more than we are longing for. It's not actually as though we're waiting for him. It's him that he's waiting for us. And yeah, that's what we want. 5 minutes is up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Did you get it? Yeah. Fantastic. Isn't that brilliant? You know, you can get somebody who can give you the theory, then you get somebody who can do it, and then you get the different message. All you need to do is to look towards me, says the Lord, and then to climb higher one step at a time. For from my angle, says God, I am calling you to a higher place. But from your side, the way is to wholeheartedly look to me and then step upward. I will be your guide and lead you to the place that I seek for you. All you have to do is take one step. You don't have to run a mile this morning. But you have to decide, God, I'm going to do this. I'm not called to a mediocre life. I'm not called to a make a no difference life on this world. I'm called to change my circumstances around me, and I change the people around me in my world. I now understand how you want me to do this. So I want to come in your presence. And I want to become a prayer, because God calls me to that, to pray, so that I can be set apart and I can become part of the process of change in this world, which is desperately in need of change. I can't decide that for you. I can appeal to your heart, but only you can decide. But the Lord says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't harden your heart. Don't think, oh, I've tried, it'll never work. Start with one step. One step upward towards God. One step. Allow his presence to overwhelm you so that you begin to become holy, because you love him so much. And you will change a nation. Your life will change. You know, this is so short life. Golly. I mean, I'll be 80 in 15 years' time. It's ancient. And I'm suddenly thinking, that's not really far off. I haven't been in this country 15 years, just about. So it's that plus, and then I'm this old man. What happened to it all? I was a teenager the other day. How the heck did I get here? Look in the mirror and you say, who's that? The point is, it's so short. And if our whole drive is to pay off a mortgage, find a wife or a husband, have a couple of kids, have a car, and have a job, it's so boring. It's totally boring. Who wants to do that? It seems like the Western ideal. Wow, own a house, pay off your mortgage, have a car, go on holiday once a year, and get a break from your grinding job, and then that's it. God's called you to more than that. And if that's your only motivation, you're destined for boredom and a pension and leave money to your kids. Rather leave your kids' ability to follow God. So you need to make the choice. I need to make the choice. There isn't any other way we can get there. There is only making a decision to take the next step. That's all you have to do. You're not signing up for the London Marathon this morning. But you have to decide, I'm coming into his presence. And I'm going to pray. Tuesdays I'm going to fast. Fast media. If you can't fast food, fast media. Fast chocolates. Fast one meal. Fast milk in your tea. Fast something. Does God want you to suffer? No. He wants fasting to come out of your love for him. I love you so much. I don't want to do this because you're more important to me than my food is or my television. And come and pray. Seriously, guys, we have a mission and a call by God to change this world. And it's going to be done by praying and those who live in his presence, allowing his fire to refine them.